Praise God. Praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is good to be here.
Amen.
It's good to be with the brethren.
Amen.
With the brethren.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless each one here, Jesus. Bless each one.
Yes.
Meet every single need, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we are continuing on through the book of Colossians. And today we're actually going to hit chapter 4. Why do I have this here? There we go. We're doing chapter 4, the first 9 verses, and next month we will do the second half of Colossians chapter 4. Colossians is all about the preeminence and sufficiency of Christ in all things.
Yes.
That it's all about Jesus. Yes. It's all about him. You know, there's a little saying that nothing really matters except Jesus and abiding in him. Nothing really matters except Jesus and abiding in him. And the key verse in Colossians is, for in him dwells, in Christ dwells, all the fullness of the deity, of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete, you are full in him, who is the head of all principality and power. We do not understand what we believe. I'm going to say that again. We do not understand what we believe. It is more radical and more incredible than we realize, than we actually can even begin to realize. And we will have all of eternity to continue to wonder and understand this incredibleness. That Christ dwells in us, who is the head of all principality and power, and that we are complete in him. We do not lack anything.
Amen.
You know, our struggles is because we think that we lack something.
That's right.
I'm just talking about me. A lot of my struggles are because I think I lack something, which is exactly contrary to being complete in him. Now, last month we looked at the end of chapter 3. And these are a couple of key verses in chapter 3, just as review. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You know, if you've received Jesus into your life, he's there to stay. He's there to stay because he is faithful.
Yes.
2 Timothy says that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, he abideth faithful, because he cannot deny himself. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And our faith is actually dependent upon him, not upon us. It's dependent upon him and his faithfulness. And this is who we serve. And so everything that we can do heartily for him. We don't do it for men. We don't serve men, we serve Christ. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we're serving him. You know, if you're working and you have a great job, ultimately, as a believer, you're serving Christ. If you're taking out the garbage at home, you're serving Christ. Doesn't matter what you're doing, ultimately, you are doing it for Christ. And I introduced you to a little sign, symbol of this last part of Colossians, and it talks about submitting to one another. Which is, wrong way. Yield. Yield. We talked a little about marriage today. Yield. And let me tell you a little secret about the yield sign. It's for you, not for the other. It's for you, not your spouse. It's for you. Yield. And this brings me kind of to this topic that I think is so connected to yielding. And it's connected to some of the things that we're going to see in chapter 4, which is this topic that sometimes we don't talk about very much. Oh, here's the scriptures. But the term is meekness. And I don't know that we often hear a definition of meekness. Now, you've just had a sign that actually kind of describes it. Yield. Okay. But, you know, the third beatitude says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What does it mean to be meek? And I think it's a word that sometimes isn't well defined for us as believers. Okay, and I'm going to give you a definition, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples of meekness. Something different than I think we think that it is. Meekness is power under control. It's power under control. It's power that is harnessed. It's both of those things. Because let me give you some examples. Lightning. Lightning is not meek. Okay, we can't, even to this day, we cannot do anything with lightning. There's a tremendous amount of power in lightning. But we can't harness it. In all our technology today, we still really cannot really harness a lightning bolt. It's tremendous power, but it's essentially useless to us in terms of our daily lives. I mean, we talk about energy and our shortage of energy with fossil fuels, but nobody's been able to harness lightning bolts because lightning is not meek. It's wild, but it's not meek. It's tremendous power, but it's not under control. However, a power plant, whether it's nuclear, fossil, or whatever, is in a sense, it's meek because there's tremendous power in a electric generating plant, but it's harnessed. In other words, it comes into your house and it doesn't zap your house. It doesn't blow up your house. If it wasn't harnessed, that electricity would blow up your house. I don't even know how much electricity is put out by one power plant. But it could fry probably a few blocks if it wasn't harnessed. It's tremendous power, but it's actually under control. It's harnessed. Now, a little bit more natural example is a wild stallion. A wild stallion is not meek. Horses are very powerful. Of course, we're in the 21st century and most of us don't have horses. But a wild stallion is extremely strong. But you can't plow with it. You can't ride it. You can't pull a cart with it. You can't do anything with a wild stallion. But when that horse is broken, it still has the same amount of power. But now it's meek. Because the rider on the horse, or the one who's driving the carriage, or the one that's plowing, can direct and guide that power. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." See, God has given us gifts. God has given us abilities. He's actually given us power. But you know what? Without that power harnessed, it's essentially useless. And part of the process of our sanctification and our walk with Jesus is he begins to harness and, if you will, break us like a wild stallion. Because apart from Christ, that's what we are. We're a wild stallion that needs to be broken. And then even after it's broken, it needs to be trained so that that tremendous power that's in the horse can be utilized and can be, directed. And this is part of our lives. It's part of the reason why God has to sometimes come in and deal with things in us in order for the power that he wants to use that's in us to be properly harnessed. And so even sometimes the things that happen in our lives that we don't understand and don't make sense to us often are those things that are transforming us from being a wild stallion to being a rideable horse. And Jesus is the one that's riding. Amen. So, Colossians, first 9 verses. I have them all up on the screen. Usually I do a little larger font, but I wanted to put the whole thing up all at once. "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here." So what am I going to talk about that connects with meekness and yielding from these 9 verses? So I'm going to go to my next slide, and I have some things highlighted through this passage. Continue earnestly in prayer, praying speak the mystery as I ought to speak. Let your speech always be with grace, that you know how to answer each other. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. They will make known to you all things. There's this theme in here of communication. Telling and speaking. Prayer is what? Prayer is communication with God. And Paul is talking about speaking, telling the mystery of Christ. And then he talks about speech with one another. How to answer each other. Telling news, sharing news, making known things. It's about this thing right here. It's an amazing thing, this thing right here. You know, in James, it talks about how, you know, no man can actually tame this. But Christ is in us. And Christ is the one that can even develop meekness in this right here. Praise God for him. But, you know, James says that it's like a rudder, that our whole body is moved in some way by this. Words are incredibly powerful. And the next slide, I have one more thing highlighted in the center of this section, which highlights the importance, I believe, of this. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. You know, even how we speak to those outside and how we redeem the time, how are we speaking? How are we redeeming the time with our Heavenly Father? How are we using our time talking to others and telling them the mystery of Christ? How are we redeeming the time and our interaction with one another? This, what comes out of our mouth? These two verses from Proverbs. And let me tell you about Proverbs if you're not familiar with Proverbs. Proverbs, one of Proverbs' biggest topics is this, is the mouth and what comes out of the mouth. I just picked two. Okay. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The power of life and death are in the power of the tongue. You know, there's the old nursery school rhyme, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me. It's not scriptural. It really isn't. God created the world by his word. He created our lives by his word. Death, and he created us in his image, which means in his likeness, which means our words can bring life. They can actually bring death. It's a powerful thing. And James says we can bless and we can curse with our mouth, and it shouldn't be that way, that we can do both. But that's part of the result of the fall. Amazing, amazing thing, our tongues, our words. He who has knowledge spares his words. And a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. We live in a day of all this chatter. We really do. You think about it. We live in a world of chatter. The news, the TV, it's just a lot of chatter. James says to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We ought to be quicker to hear than to speak. And then Jesus said some things about our words as well. And this is from Mark chapter 7, verse 14 through 23. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?" And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." You know, this control of our tongues and what comes out of a man. And you know, it is, you know, in the Colossians passage, it has to do with prayer, because what we speak to God when we're alone, what we speak when we're alone and we're not praying. And I'm going to say that again. And I'm speaking to this guy over here. Okay, what we speak to God when we are alone, and the things that we say when we're alone, maybe we're not purposely saying them to God, but what are we saying when no one is watching? What comes out of our mouth? What comes out of our mouth? I don't see Terry, but we both share this thing about when we're driving, which isn't pretty in sometimes, but that's what's coming out of our hearts. That's what's coming out of our mouths. And I don't know, in a sense, I think the things that we say alone, even when we're not praying, they're sort of like prayers. And the things that we say to other people. You know, we have the power to encourage. We have the power to bring down. It's an amazing thing how a word of encouragement can lift somebody else. And if you say something and it's discouraging, how that can weigh on that other person for a long time. And there's something about this power, the importance of life, words, and prayer, that I think sometimes we miss. About a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, time kind of just goes along. But we talk about this sometimes with praise, but this whole understanding of what about this prayer, our praise, our prayer and our praise. You know, we are, I was in my Gems for Genesis PowerPoint last week, but we're mud men is what we are. I mean, God took the mud and he made a man out of it, Adam. But he breathed into that man the breath of life. You know what that mud man can do? That mud man speaks words. That earth man, who's physical, speaks physical words in this physical realm. In a certain way, it's where the rubber meets the road while we are physically alive. You know, sometimes we wonder, you know, we ought to long to be with Jesus. But we have this limited amount of time on this earth to actually affect the world, the physical world, with words that come out of this physical body. In some way, after we die, we no longer have that same aspect of speaking those words in this physical fallen world. It's a unique thing that we have during our physical lives. I mean, we'll still be able to speak with our resurrected bodies. But on this side of eternity, we have a unique opportunity with our words. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity with our words. Whether it's praying, whether it's praising, whether it's speaking to others, we have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity with our words, with what comes out of this. One life for our words to go from this physical body into the physical world. Yield your words to the King. Yield your tongue and your words to the King. You know, the point here is that sometimes we think about other things in our lives. You know, I'll give some of my time, or I'll give some of my money, or I'll give some volunteer time. You know, you can make the list of all the things that we think about giving to God. The rudder of the ship, as James says, is right here. And if you give this, if the rudder is in the master's hand, the rest of the ship will follow suit. So help us. Help us to yield our tongues. And we're really, I think, all in the same boat. We seem to be successful at times. We seem to mess up at times. But it's important. It's more than just important. It's crucial, and it's one lifetime opportunity with our words. So let's pray. Abba, Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, some of this makes sense to us, some of it doesn't. But I pray that you will continue to impress us with the importance of our words. Every single one of us. Not under condemnation, but upon conviction. That our words ultimately be glorifying, edifying to you and to others. That we will relinquish the rudder of our words to you, to Christ in us, that our words would be Christ-like. Both to you when we're alone, but even when we're not specifically praying and we're alone. Help us in those times. Help us. Remind us by your Spirit. Help us to praise you. Help us to call upon you. Help us to speak blessing upon others. Even those that maybe that we struggle with or we have a hard time with, help us to speak blessing for everyone that we come in contact with. Thank you that your Spirit is working in our hearts and that you are faithful. You are faithful. And so we just ask you to accomplish your word in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we yield, you know. Terry and I watched again. We watched The Wonderful, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, you know. Terry had never seen it, and it was that scene. If for those of you who have never seen it, the one with Tom Hanks, it's really worth seeing. There's a scene where somebody just kind of is digging at him, trying to get him to respond negatively by the verbal dig. And you can just see it in Tom Hanks' face in the scene where he looks and you can feel the pain go in, but he yielded. And instead of retaliating, he actually spoke in meekness. And it's that scene that sticks with me. But, you know, I didn't know what Art was really going to highlight this morning, but this weekend I heard this. God wants to do a heart check. And, you know, last week we all had a challenge to see if we could give thanks for something every day. Do you remember that? Did anyone have any testimony that, yes, you know, I caught myself with more of a grateful heart this week? Did anybody? Well, that's good. So I guess God does want to take a look at a heart check, because a tree's known by its fruit. And you know, Art went over it a little bit in the book of Mark, but he says it is out of it, the abundance of the heart that the mouth is speaking. You can't speak words of faith and kindness and adoration, words to lift up, if your heart is sick or it's hurting or it's empty and it's feeling bankrupt. So I guess, you know, knowing that the Lord spoke that to me yesterday and hearing what you kind of highlighted on, which is our language, what is our language saying? What's our language? God already highlighted it earlier this morning as well. What are you speaking? Because we can't change our words so much. I mean, God can give us supernatural, unusual grace to speak kindly. When our hearts really aren't feeling it, that's called being fake. But it's the overflow of the heart that the mouth is speaking. And you know, the psalmist in David in Psalm 34, you know, as it's where he's like, his praise will continually be in my mouth. And he's beckoning others to come. You who are oppressed or afflicted, come with me. Let's praise him together. He was in one of the worst times David was in his life when he wrote that psalm. It was a choice he was making to give God adoration and praise when he was running from somebody who was trying to kill him and when he lost his best friend. So may we this morning, may God make us keenly aware of what's coming out of our mouth. Unbelief, criticism, negativity, alignment with the enemy. Because if that's what we're speaking, that's what's something. Our heart needs to be filled. Our heart needs to be filled and glisten with that joy. Is what it's a sign of is that we're bankrupt. We need to drink and eat of his presence, where that joy and that peace comes from. Amen? That's all it is. It's just saying I'm a little bankrupt in here. I need to drink and eat of him and spend time with him, because it's a mad world out there, isn't it, guys? It's so demanding. So we need to make it a priority to spend time with him, not religious time, but where we're drinking. And you know how we can tell the difference? Because our face glistens. You can't have the joy of the Lord when you're miserable. It just doesn't happen, right? We can tell. We need to drink. We need to drink. We need to drink. Amen. So may we this week, as Art finished, may we close with this. May we be aware of how we've been speaking. How have others been telling you you've been speaking? Sometimes that helps even more. Because that just seems, I need to drink. I need to eat that bread. Because there's a heart problem here. It's not a mouth problem. Amen? Because you can be in the miserable of the worst trial and still be able to maintain that joy and that peace and walk like David did and said, his praise is going to be in my mouth. His praise is going to be in my mouth. Amen? Amen. So, Father, may Holy Spirit, you're so good at this. You comfort and you lead and you teach, you convict, you change, you transform. May we be aware of what's coming out of our mouths in an unusual way this week. And may you only show us, Lord, that if it's praise and adoration and faith, that we're in a good place with you. And if it's not, that we could say, man, I need to slow down. I need to spend time with you, Jesus. And drink, and eat, taste, and see that you're good today in my life. And that the overflow of my mouth will be thanksgiving, will be the little lambs that are leaving our mouth and that bring great pleasure to you, because our heart is in that place of gratitude. Amen. May we be unusually aware, especially, I hear the Holy Ghost saying this, listen to those around you. Sometimes we don't even realize when we get to that place. And it's someone close to you that says, you know, something going on. What's going on? Sometimes we don't see it ourselves. And God will use those very closest to us. So, Father, thank you. And we say, yes, we yield. We yield our will. We yield our will to your way and just draw us into that place of joy and bliss in the fellowship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen, amen. Amen. Go bless somebody. We got lots of yummy food. Go bless somebody with your words, even before you leave here. May each one of us bless somebody with our language, create life and encouragement to somebody near you. Amen? Amen.